animals less healthy than you can't nourish you.
Are you surviving or are you thriving?
Are you too busy to live?
Do you have grain brain?
That was brain.
Fight for your life. Get your prescription for health today.
Is Mother Nature too good to be
it's
true?
Not you, it's the food. It's a no-grainer.
Oh. That isn't happening to us.
It's already happening to you, woman. Join our army of Minas.
Keep the government off our farms.
Make it happen today.
Save the bacon.
Save the bacon.
It's time to drop some atomic mom bombs.
It's not me. It's you. Invest in your life.
Yay! Her name is Neethi.
Hey friends, this is Neethi the pharmacist, and in today's episode, I'm very excited to be able to introduce you to our family physician, Dr. Greg Barnes. He is a fully certified maximized living chiropractor. In 2011, he founded Greenway Health Center and is now leading hundreds of patients and families into a healthy lifestyle through the five essentials. He is a knowledgeable speaker in the field of nutrition, functional medicine, chiropractic, and a practical leader of wellness programs for businesses and churches in the RDU area. He's my, health mentor, and I really am excited to be able to introduce you folks to him. So I hope that you'll stay tuned for our conversation today regarding what to look for in a holistic practitioner. I don't know, our conversation kind of goes in several different directions regarding creating priorities for your life. And I hope that this conversation will help to serve you and your family. So stay tuned. Welcome, Dr. Barnes. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
I'm super excited. Thanks for having me.
So, hey, Doc, the two biggest questions I have from people all the time. The first one is, how do we know where to get our food? How do we know what farm is a good farm? And the second one, surprisingly, is how do you know what a good holistic practitioner is? How do you know, like how to find one and then that they're going to be good? I want to say something about that real quick, and I'm going to, I want to talk here because you have no idea how amazing Dr. Barnes is. So I'm going to talk about you for a minute here. So brace yourself.
Go ahead.
Let me tell y'all something. I don't get any benefit from promoting Dr. Barnes except that, I do want his success, but first of all, I think people need to realize that any functional practitioner, holistic practitioner, chiropractor, their job is, or even allopathic physician for that matter, okay? Their job is to, assess what's happening with you and try to come up with some type of solution with that. And, they're going to do it in different ways. So an allopathic physician may use their machines and tests and things of that nature, and then they'll try to balance you off with, some type of pharmaceutical. If they're really good, maybe they might actually get into diet and exercise a little bit. But and a holistic physician, I feel like, will do the same things, but perhaps they do it using whatever type of functional medicine that their realm that they're in terms of, if it's chiropractic, if it's acupuncture or something of that nature. And then instead of using pharmaceuticals, perhaps they'll use nutraceuticals or, more diet and exercise. But at the end of the day, you have to fight for your life, and your doctor can't do that for you. And I think that current day society has this misconception that they're supposed to go to a doctor and in 5 minutes that doctor is going to give them a solution and send them on their way, because that is what allopathic medicine has become. And it's incorrect on so many levels. And let me tell you about Dr. Barnes. So his actual job as our chiropractor is really just to clear our neurological pathways by adjusting the spine and then suggest, you know, the dietary or exercise solutions based on whatever it is that we're combating and maintain our health, you know, like day to day. But Dr. Barnes didn't just do that because he's a ninja. And so what he does is he wakes up in the morning, he puts on his ninja cape, and then he brings the joy every single day, every day. And then on top of that, his staff must be motivated by him or something. I don't know. I don't know if they're all as joyful as he is, but when you walk into their office, you feel the joy. And then he's always thinking about how to make us healthier, even when we're not. So I consider the fact that he's fighting for my life, even if I'm too lazy to do it myself. And then he's educating us, you know, and he's probing us and making us think, which can be exhausting, but he does this every single day. And then he gets involved in our interests. I listen to him talk to everybody in the office, and he's talking to them about whatever it is that they're interested in. I mean, that's a lot of work. Just right there, I'm already exhausted. But more than that, he's creating a compassionate community of all of the people that are there that we're all so excited to see each other. I think when everybody walks into your office, Doc, like we just want to hug everybody. We don't know them, but it's okay. We're all just some kind of family because we're there. And then on top of it all, he's fighting for my children's life. I don't have to worry as a mother every single day. And I'm sorry, but I don't know any allopathic physician that's even allowed to do that anymore. When I was growing up, I will say we were very blessed to have an allopathic physician who used to take the time. This is before the health insurance companies got involved in a different way. And he used to sit with my mom and with me and my sister, and he used to talk to us about whatever. And he would make suggestions, but you know what, everybody? At the end of the day, you're the only one who knows what you put in your mouth. And you're the only one who can control it. And no matter how hard Dr. Barnes or anybody else fights for your life, you have all the control. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And Dr. Barnes will, he's right now on personal time. He's supposed to be with his family and he's got his folks visiting and stuff. And he's taking the time to be on the air with us today. And I just want you to know, like, that's such a big deal. And I appreciate it so much. And thank you. You just pour yourself out into the community all the time. And I want people to know that I don't know where you are, where you're listening to this, and you may not be here in Raleigh, North Carolina, but if you're in Raleigh and you don't take the time to get to know Dr. Barnes, then it's pretty sad. But, you know, there is also a human factor. I get that, you know, at the end of the day, you also have to, you know, like you might just not like him. I don't really know. And that's okay. But you should want to find a practitioner that's going to do what he does for you in a way that you are comfortable and happy with. What do you say, Doc?
Well, first of all, thank you for the very humbling words, for sure, you know, on that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, can I answer question number two first, and then we'll go to the food after that. I think it'll just kind of naturally evolve into that.
Sure.
But you know what, you know, the way that we practice in our clinic, and you know, I'm again just like so blessed that you, you know, as a very enlightened person, is, you know, sensitive and picks up on what I guess I kind of take for granted in my office as far as what happens, because it's not like, you know, we get together and like every day, like we have the time to be like, okay, so, you know, Ellie, you got to, you know, do this thing. And then like, you know, Keisha, you got to be like this, this and that. And, you know, Julie, you're going to just, you know, I guess just try to foster an environment and energy where people can come into the clinic. And honestly, my vision is that people are healing when they walk in the door before they've even met with me or done anything, you know, just because the energy is so overwhelmingly positive and just, you know, free of negativity and interference that, you know, like I say this, the healing begins before they even lay down on the table, you know, at that point when they're in the room with me, like that's kind of just a formality and sort of like, we're just kind of completing the steps in the loop, if you will, mm-hmm. You know? So I think, you know, practitioner, and I know that as you grow too, I mean, there's going to be more and more people from all over the country and even the world that are going to be on this. So I think it's a very relevant question, you know, beyond people that live, you know, here in Raleigh or whatever. But I mean, I think you need to find someone, and I would say, because I've worked with, you know, many practitioners myself, just as colleagues and just to learn from. And there's definitely like an it factor that certain docs have that like you can sense and pick up like immediately. So there should be this immediate like connection. Mm-hmm. We call it innate intelligence, meaning like this sort of like this spirit inside of you that's governing and running all things. But it's like, it should pick up right away. And that doctor in front of you, like he or she should eat, sleep and breathe the things that they teach in their clinic. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like they live it. So it's not even like practice what you preach, but it's more so preaching what you practice. So I think that's number one.
Well, living by example.
Yes. Because if you live by example, I mean, you almost in many cases don't even have to preach it because people just see it and the evidence is, you know, there. Like you can look at, you know, my family and my kids don't get sick like crazy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They were born at home. They were born naturally. They've never been vaccinated. They've never had drugs in their body. And you know, like we're going to make sure it stays that way. Right. And, you
yes.
know, who knows? They could, one of them could break their arm at some point and we'll be glad to have an ER, you know, a doctor put them back together in that sense. But beyond that, it's from a lifestyle standpoint, we just live in such a way to be healthy. So I think too, like, you know, to another thing that we do in our clinic and a good practitioner is that it's, you know, it's really all about getting down to the cause of the problem. I think many holistic and functional practitioners can be very allopathic in nature as well. And listen, I mean, I'm sure there's certain circumstances where I'm guilty of this too, just because of sort of just the programming that we live in as far as the American society. But, you know, my goal, even if there's an emerging, like pressing problem, like, yeah, sure, we may want to take some of the heat off that issue, but my ultimate goal is always about how do we get down to the cause of this problem in the first place? I mean, I don't care if you believe strongly in genetics or anything like that. There's always a cause. There's always a cause to why that gene would be turned on in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because we all have sucky genes, right? You know, yeah. Like the genes haven't been good for a long time. So, but it's all about how we turn them off, turn the bad ones off or turn the good ones on or vice versa. So
right.
Looking for,
well, that's the part of the food too, right? That we keep saying, like at the end of the day, it starts with food and then all these other things. And no one is, you know, I mean, of course, I'm going to make everything go back to the food right now because...
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, you're
but,
good. Yeah, it's true.
And I know that you know this because, again, living as by example, I mean, you know, considering that you get your food from me, you know, I know what you're getting and what you're not getting. I know what you're supplementing from somewhere else and what you're not supplementing. If you weren't the living proof and example of these things, you know, then it would be very difficult for me to just even come see you as a patient. But
well right, because you know that, you know, if I'm preaching eating healthy food, but then, you know, I'm not buying the best of the best, it's like, well, like what's my motive then? You know what I mean? Am I just saying that as a line?
No, you're creating that example, the bringing of the joy and the, all these things in your office. I mean, by the way, is also an example of the respect that you show your employees and the people that are working for you. If they didn't respect you greatly, I don't believe that any of us would feel that power when we walk in the door. So, I mean, that just speaks volumes of you, of, you know, what I'm saying to everybody about what are you looking for in a holistic practitioner? I mean, it's what you said in terms of like that innate, you know, feeling that you get initially. Also, you know, you have a healing touch. Everybody doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Everyone does not have that. I mean, there's good doctors and there's good education and they might know a lot of things, but I don't believe that I'm adjusted the same way by other people.
Well, I want to touch on one other thing too, because I think this is super relevant in both regards. You know, kind of your two main questions is that, mm-hmm. you know, as the saying goes, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, it's like when the student is ready, the teacher, the master will appear.
Yes.
And I think it's important that, you know, ultimately you could be seeing a, you know, whatever, a crappy, you know, holistic doctor. But if you as the patient is one, like you're saying, 100% invested in your health, mm-hmm. like, I mean, all that you have to do is get you thinking a little bit differently. And like, ultimately you could solve your own problems. You know what I mean? And so I think, you know, like meaning that a sick person who has a lot of issues that need to be overcome, but if they aren't truly ready, I mean, you could plop them in front of the best, you know, doctor in the entire world, and that doctor would not be able to help them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's really like a two-way street, and I get this, you know, not as much anymore, you know, but I still get it, where people will come and, you know, like they'll have their health problems in a box and or like, you know, their goals, which is great, you know, and it's kind of like they hand it to me, mm-hmm. sort of like, all right, now fix it. But then it's also like, oh, but by the way, I don't want to spend any time and money or energy or effort or changing my mindset in order to do that. And that kind of, again, mm-hmm. goes back to the allopathic training, and that it doesn't require a shift in mindset to begin taking a drug. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, but at the same time, like, even those allopathic physicians are not successful when someone doesn't participate. People just don't realize that they are participating in some of those cases. Yeah. And the people do the same thing with me with the food, by the way. They show up and act like, okay.
That is that you know, I guarantee you see the same thing.
Yeah.
Now they're like, oh, I want to eat healthier. But then it's like, ooh, well, that beef costs whatever, so much more than this beef or this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you know, I get it. Like, economics is always, you know, somewhat of a factor. But, you know, in knowing your story, like, and what you guys went through, you know, to some degree financially and everything, it's like, I mean, shoot, you would have easily spent an extra $10,000 on food or whatever it is all the years before, you know, your daughter got sick and would have made money at this point. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
Yeah. So, well, you know what, Doc? I have to say something on that money point.
It's not even that issue, but I just want...
It is an issue. Look,
the
economic perspective is really important. And to that point, I want to say that when people say to me that they can't afford something, first, I want to pray for them that actually is not true, that they ever are in a position where they can't afford nutrition, because what you say is your truth.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I want to say that don't ever tell me, I mean, that's one of the stupidest things that people say to me, because even a crack addict can afford to get more crack.
Yeah.
They find a way to yep. get more crack. So don't tell me, and I don't like them telling you, and I don't like them saying that they can't invest in these real life saving practices when paying you is cheaper than paying insurance, but people cannot understand that. And they can't put full faith in it, which is part of the propaganda brainwashing, right? And then...
Can I give you a good example
yes,
real quick?
Yes.
So when I was interning, this is just the most prominent memory that I have, just, you know, that I really just kind of set me off on my journey as far as really beginning to understand this. But I was interning right out of school in a clinic in Houston, which is actually the largest natural healthcare clinic that I know of, at least in the country, probably the world. And I was working for a doctor by the name of Dr. Chris Zeno. And, you know, we had this family came in, and, you know, I didn't know what they did or whatever. But eventually what happened was is that they said they couldn't afford the care program that he went with. So then they was like, well, we can do this amount of money. And so like way less than what it was kind of worth. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor said yes. And then, you know, like, that's fine. We'll help you. He's, you know, he has a big heart. And I'll never forget. It was, I swear to God, like 3 weeks later, that family came in and I was caring for them that day. And I was like, you know, I was like, hey, how was your weekend? And they're like, oh, it's so awesome. Like, the kids are like, yeah, we just got a new pool put in our backyard.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll never forget. And then the Dr. Zeno heard it. He looked at me and he was, he just like kind of nodded his head. Like, I knew that was going to happen, but this is a powerful experience for you right now, in a sense that, like, yeah, they couldn't afford the whatever it was per month for their health. But they put in like a $12,000 pool, you know, probably paid for it on one credit card, you know what I mean? And we'll pay it off. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that
yeah.
shifted my mindset forever and really beginning to understand that it all comes down to
priorities
for people. And it's like, it's rarely a true money issue. it's just a priority issue. And that's fair. You know what I mean? If it's truly not a person's top priority, like, we can't be the one to judge what a person's priorities are or not, right?
Right.
But what we can do is continue to lead and coach and inspire people to constantly put their health in the forefront of their mindset, because guess what? Everything in society is pulling their health to the back seat. And that's why one of the main reasons why we're in such trouble is because it's like, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. Just take these 15 drugs, you know, when your problems go bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the pool. I have folks that tell me they can't afford to eat this way, but they're forever traveling.
Yeah.
Forever traveling, but their children are falling apart.
Yeah.
Their children are falling apart. And I'm like, what are you going to do? You know, like, as a parent who's lost a child, it bothers me so much, because I feel like I'm watching them do child abuse with this child, basically, you know, making mistakes even that I have made because I didn't know any better. But I can't believe that I'm telling them and they're not listening. If someone would ever have said anything to me before, I cannot even believe or imagine that I wouldn't listen to them, especially someone who lost a child.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hindsight is an extremely unique perspective, you know, with that. But I think that for people that we trust, like, we have to trust their hindsight, you know, too, and just be like, you know, like, I guess let me put it this way, like, the way that I practice is not nearly as lucrative if I, you know, financially, if I were to practice a different model and just merely, you know, bill the heck out of insurance, people's insurance, and, you know, never get them well and crack their necks for a few visits, send them on their way. You know what I mean? It's way more lucrative.
And go home. You don't ever go home.
I'd have to work less. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you never go home. That's what people don't understand. You know, just because your hours are whatever they are on the door, you don't have hours on your door right now. You're working.
Yeah.
That's what no one knows, is what it takes to make that go.
But, you know, the thing that I always come back to is that it's like, and the reason why I can do this and the reason why my family understands this is, like, if it's not going to be me, I don't know who it's going to be. You know what I mean? If it's to be, it's up to me.
That's right.
I don't necessarily carry that as a burden, but I guess a little bit. But it's just kind of like, well, I got these people in front of me that I've been, you know, called to care for, the people right in front of me. And they've been given to me as my responsibility to hopefully change and transform their life. You know, but they have free will, so they can do with what they choose. And then there's the rest of the community. It's just like, it's just kind of fighting that battle every single day. And I, you know, it's kind of fun. You know what I mean? I love it. It's hard, but you know, it's like, I'm kind of glad a little bit in a way that, it is hard. I'm glad that eating healthy costs money. I'm glad that, you know, my care costs that what it does, because part of it is that if we're really going to truly change things, we have to get down to a grassroots level of people that are just hardcore and are never going to back down. And if everything just came so convenient, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it would have the ability to transform the future if, like, it wasn't as hard as it was right now to be healthy in this country. But we just got to hang in there, you know?
I agree. And thank you so much for being a servant leader. I mean, that is so important. And I have had people who act like I'm trying to sell them something all the time. And I tell them, you know, what we're doing is serving. This is mission work. It doesn't feel like it to you because of what the cost is of real food, but we're, you know, the prices have been skewed by, you know, the government, basically,
because
you know, they don't know, people are, you know, why is, when you actually really do the numbers and look at the history, then the price of meat or milk or anything really hasn't changed. It just costs what it costs. And it was always, you know, the priorities of people, the number one priority should always be their food and then their shelter, which would, you know, exude their health. Okay. And then, you know, then you have to have someone on your side that has that third party perspective. But at the end of the day, like you always say, we have the power to heal ourselves. You know, sometimes we don't really, we go to the physician or we come to you, we do get adjustments from you, but more than that, you know, we get objectivity from you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because I can figure out a way to help my children when they're not well, but if I'm not well, I can't know what's wrong. And sometimes I'm so emotionally involved with my children that I might not have a clear picture of that either, which is why we have a physician, people. Listeners, are you getting this piece of it? Is that you go to a practitioner who's going to give you a perspective, but the same way that you choose the children's education, like we got all these homeschoolers these days, right? Well, yeah. They want to homeschool because they want a certain control over what their children are exposed to. It's the same thing with their medical, practitioner, right?
Yeah. So, I think what's important to keep, when we talk about just perspective, is that if you look at fundamentally the difference between, and I hate it, I hate the word alternative. I mean, to me, medical is the alternative, right? But
yes.
Language that people are familiar with. So, the difference between medical and alternative is that in medicine, really, if you look at their sort of their nature, the research that they do, the information they put out there, is it's all about teaching you what to think, right?
Right.
You need to take this cholesterol medication. You need to give your children all these vaccines. You need to, have your baby in this hospital because that's the only safe place to have it. Otherwise your baby's going to die. I could go on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the other side, if you look, it's more those types of practitioners, and the message is more about teaching you that you need to think and that you have to think. So medicine, teaching you what to think. The other side, teaching you that you have to think and that we encourage you to think, and thinking is the best thing that you could do. So, if you notice, it's like on these online Facebook things, it's like, oh, if you're not vaccinating your children, you're killing other babies and things like that. Where versus the other side of the commentary will usually be like, well, have you ever thought about the fact that we give our kids more vaccines than we did 50 years ago, and yet they're sicker than they've ever been before?
Or what about this? What about when Mina was in the hospital receiving chemotherapy because we didn't know what to do, right? They told us we weren't allowed to vaccinate while she was undergoing chemo, and nobody in our house was allowed to vaccinate.
Yeah, so
they don't talk about that.
Standard, it's crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nonsense. They don't talk about any of that. And yeah, it's everybody. Yeah, I don't like alternative medicine either. It used to be that even in America, before World War II and before the Rockefeller era, then we had chiropractic, homeopathy, Ayurveda, acupuncture. All of those things were prevalent, and medicine was just medicine. And in fact, I mean,
you're right. You're right.
It was always just medicine. And if you go anywhere else in the world, people ask me all the time, Doc, hey, if you grew up with homeopathy, why did you vaccinate? I'll tell you why. Is because in India, where I come from, a family of physicians, both holistic and allopathic. So my grandfather was a renowned homeopathic physician. We have other homeopaths in the family. Plus, I have surgeons in our family, right? But it over there, you don't like bash one style of medicine over the other.
Yeah.
Allopathy is used to put people back together, which you even recognize and respect, right? Mm-hmm. Like your bone breaks open, you get in a car accident, whatever, you're broken open, they put you back together. And then you use chiropractic or, whatever these people want to call alternative medicine to manage the body holistically, right? To make it thrive again. But over there, there was no fight or battle between all these different forms of medicine. And so, that was our mindset growing up, was that you use whatever is going to give you the best result, like all the round robin of everything. And at the time there was, my whole life I got 3 vaccinations. Growing up at that time, then the only reason I got the third one was because we were international travelers. We were going back to India. But prior to that, you didn't get your first shot until you went into school. And I literally only had 2 vaccines my whole life. And then that third one because we traveled, which was dumb. I didn't know, but nobody knew. My mom obviously didn't know, but they gave us tetanus because we were going to India, which was stupid. Like, they should only give it to you. They only give you tetanus if you actually like cut yourself with some bad metal or something like that. But we didn't know that. And they told us that we had to have it to go there. So we all got the shot. But outside of that.
Well, here's, let me speak on that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this new word that I'm like in love with lately is the word transcendence. And, you know, not necessarily from the standpoint of like, I don't know, something weird using that term, but really, you know, the true meaning of the word, which is just really to really be growing and evolving. You know, the universe is constantly expanding. Every single second it's getting bigger, you know, right?
Right.
So I just think written into our DNA is the need and really the need to grow and expand. And I mean, so even for me, like it's a process, you know, like I thought, you know, for a long time before you really helped educate me on food that, you know, I was absolutely doing the best by buying beef from Whole Foods. Like now, when I look back, I'm like, that was stupid and I was way off. Right. But mm-hmm. now that I've been exposed to new knowledge, I've adapted it and I've incorporated it. Right. And so like, I can't be mad at myself before for the mistakes that I did before I had the knowledge. Right. You know, there's a big difference between ignorance and stupidity.
Sure.
I say this all the time, you know, like ignorance is you just don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know that, you know, just grass-fed beef didn't necessarily mean 100% grass-fed. I didn't know that could still mean, you know, GMO, you know, grass and what all that stuff, right, with it.
Sure.
But as soon as you educated me on that, I was like, well, duh, that makes sense. Like, of course, why would I not, you know, make that switch? In the same way where it's like, okay, well, a parent could beat themselves up for the way they, you know, used to, oh, when my kid had, you know, colic or reflux, like I gave them, you know, drugs or I gave them the vaccines and now I hate myself for that. And it's like, well, I mean, that's not going to do anybody any good or much less your child or your family if you're just going to keep beating yourself up. But, you know, I think that puts the pressure on to then look at your life. It's like, okay, well, if I've made these mistakes before that were real bad, you know.
Yes.
And I need to let me look at my life where I'm at right now and where else am I making those same mistakes and not even realizing it, right? And how can I get better? And how can I do more in this one area or that area or these five areas and grow from that, you know? Like so I'm just real big on that word right now in my life and like just always and just, you know, just where do I need to grow and expand versus where am I shrinking or staying the same? Because I mean, you look at what's happening to just our country right now, it's because the growth has stopped, right? The transcendence has stopped and it's going back to like shrinking and, you know, back to self-centeredness and all that stuff. And like, that's not doing anybody any good, nor does it do our families if that's our perspective on, you know, health and success. So,
yeah, I mean, agreed. 5,000,000%. I mean, I know I have definitely transformed. I mean, I'm transforming all the time. And I think that the moment that we stop transforming is really when we're going to find our demise, I think. But, and that's the other thing. Everybody acts like this is another thing that I tell them about any practitioner. And you tell me, you know, I can't stand it when folks are like, well, he didn't even know this or he didn't even know that. And not talking specifically about you. I just mean anybody, like any practitioner. And I'm always thinking like, wow, that's a human being, first of all. And secondly, you know, I feel like you and I, for example, I lean on you to have a conversation about whatever the solution should be or might be for us. And it might work 100% of the time, because if you're going to the highest and best source of information that you trust that knows all of the bits and pieces, like the whole periphery of what our history is, then, I mean, you can't do anything but win. But like, I don't know why people today believe that there's anyone, some human being, that's a knower of all things. And I think it's more important to find someone like how we have you in our lives to give us some objectivity and give us some constructive conversation to come up with our health solutions. I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, again, it goes back to like, there's no such thing as a perfect practitioner, you know, but if you become the perfect patient, then it doesn't matter who you're working with. Like, I mean, you're going to find value and success because, you know, like you've taught me many, many things about nutrition that I've incorporated, you know, and at the same time, like I take stuff that you learn, tell me, and it's then my job to then filter it through what I know and do my own research, because otherwise we're just getting, you know, confirmation bias, basically. It's like, oh, I just trust Neethi, so I'm going to believe it. But I like to not just believe in things, I want to own it, you know? So when I learned about, you know, mob grades and all the terminology that you kind of exposed me to, it's like, okay, that makes sense, but let me look into it. See, I wouldn't have been a good long-term customer if I just would have believed you at face value, but it's like, you got to dig into this stuff, you know? Like, otherwise, like, your belief system is built on a house of sand and it's eventually going to collapse, you know? Like, when the money gets a little tight, like, what's the first thing to go? Well, the things that are the belief systems and the priorities that are built on foundations of sand, right?
Sure.
Once money gets a little bit tight, boom, instantly the priority for health is then gone. Versus like, well, how about you give up your dang cell phone? Like,
I know. I know. I would never give up my practitioner. That's dumb. I mean, I don't know what it is. We would figure out how we would pay you. We would figure out how we would pay the farms. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if that meant...
Man down by the river, you know, like, that's what my mentor, late mentor, Dr. Charles Majors always said, is like, you give me my health, you give me my family, and I'll live in a van down by the river, like Chris Farley's skit, right? And it's, everything will be great versus having all the money in the world.
Right.
And losing my health, because guess what? When you lose your health, you're going to lose your money anyways. That's going to be the first thing to go, actually. Like, legitimately, it's number one cause of bankruptcy, right? Medical bills is by far in our country.
Isn't that where all these people's retirement money goes? I can't tell you how many people will close their membership with me because they feel like they haven't put enough money away for retirement because they just had a meeting with their whoever investor guy. Can you believe that?
I mean, just look at what it costs to be in a nursing home for 1 year and, like, and price out food, like, I'm pretty sure it's a pale comparison.
I mean, sometimes it'll hit, then I think we're dummies because we're just like, we need Dr. Barnes and we need our food. I guess we don't have a bunch of money and savings. And after having been through the whole problem with Mina, her diagnosis, I mean, we were bankrupt after that. I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
You know, we went that route because she
take your money with you anyways when you die. So it's like, you might as well live your life to the fullest all out while you are alive. And like, who cares, you know?
I know. I mean, I tell you something. Yeah. That experience put our perspective in this place where we are like, what do we need today and tomorrow? I cannot care about when I'm 70 because I might get hit by a Mack truck tomorrow, you know?
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that, I mean, I'm not trying to 100% be totally irresponsible, but I will tell you that I will never, ever compromise our access to you or our food.
Yeah.
Not to do that. I mean, we will get rid of our cell phones or 10 other things. Or we just have to work harder, right? That just means that I got to get up and bring the joy somewhere else and do one more something in a different direction.
There you go. You can drive from 10 p.m. at night till 2 in the morning for Uber, picking up people from the airport, and there you go. There's your food money. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you want something bad enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, if a crack addict can do it, then we can too. Just like, we can do it smarter.
I mean, or it's like, listen, if it's like if there was a gun to your head and you had to find a way to, you know, do X, Y, or Z, it's like you're going to find a way, you know?
But I mean, we did, right? We had a gun to our head for Mina. And we found the money.
People don't realize that the gun is to their head, whether they have a child that's been diagnosed or died of cancer or not. Like the gun is to your head. If you live in America right now,
the gun is to your head.
If you live anywhere on this planet, the gun is to your head right now. And the most dangerous part is that when people don't even realize it, and that's why they make short-sighted decisions, like the retirement example, or they're like, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm like, no, I don't think anybody. I really don't believe like anybody ever sits down. Just to use a very blatant example, and like orders a number two for McDonald's, you know. And like they honestly sit there and think logically, like, oh yeah, this is exactly what my body needed right now to be healthy. Like I can't imagine there's many people that have ever said that. But the only reason why people do that is because they're satisfying that they're just thinking short term, like I need this right now, right in this moment, in this second, and they feel good for like 5 seconds and then feel like death, you know, after that, right?
They don't even realize that they only feel good for 5 seconds and then death after that. I don't know.
Because they're so, death is so much more their norm now. That's why, and I love when like people come in. I had this one guy come in, actually two separate people and say it in different ways. They were like, you know, when I first started with you, I I had this vision of what like a good day would look like what I could, how good I could feel and how just good my health could be. And just like, it, I didn't even realize how poor my thinking had become for, because of how bad I was, because she's like, I feel way past what I thought was possible. And I'm like, that's yes. what we call it, maximized living. You know, it's like, it's continually maximizing your ability to live life with not only for yourself, but with your family and with your community.
Yeah.
And you know, just it's that expansion. It's like, I mean, I feel great right now, but like, I can't wait to feel how good I'm going to feel 10 years from now when I've been living this healthy lifestyle another 10 years, you know, and continually kind of undoing my childhood.
Oh yeah. I mean, Rohit and I are saying the same thing. And
yeah,
you know, anyway, we're going to be running out of time here, but before we close, I want to know from you, food wise, what do you feel like are the top five things that are the most important things that you don't believe? I mean, that you just think that food is the only way to get that medicine that people need to know. Like, if they're not going to do anything else, they should seek out these top five things.
Well, certainly, I mean, I don't know if this is in particular order, but I'd say the first one that comes to my mind would definitely be the healthiest beef possible. I mean, just bang for your buck. You know, if you think about how many pounds of you know, healthy grass, you know, people stinking juice wheatgrass, right? They pay like $5 for that. And it's like, think how much stinking grass goes into 1 pound of like 100%, you know, grass-fed beef. And I'm like, think how much nutrition is in there. It's like, you should be charging $500 a pound for your beef. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's how much nutrition is in there. And it's been scientifically verified. I think I showed you that one graph where there's more nutrition in 1 pound of grass-fed beef, and it probably wasn't even 100%, but you know, then 20 pounds of like fruits and vegetables.
Sure.
Like, yep. So number one by far, I would say, is that, you know, we're meant to be omnivores. And so, but when you're eating an herbivore as an omnivore, like, you're getting just all double the benefits, really. Right.
Yes.
So I would say that is for sure. Number one. I think next would probably be just what I know about the nutritional content. I'd probably say eggs for me is number two.
Yes.
You know, doing the right choice for that, because there's so much nutrition packed in those little things there. And honestly, from a cost perspective, it's probably one of the most cost efficient. I mean, compared to conventional, yeah, it's not. But like, you know, just as far as getting a lot of bang for your buck again from eating a couple eggs for breakfast, you know, done the right way, there's massive value in that.
Sure,
so yeah. I would say that, I think my number three, and I'm totally rambling here, but
sure.
Number three would actually be not something that you would consume, but it would be something that two things you would absolutely have to avoid, which would be grains.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're eating grains with healthy food, you're like spinning your wheels, you know, because there's such an anti-nutrient. So it's like, oh, I'm having my 100% grass-fed beef burger on a, you know, a wheat bun. And I'm like, you're totally just like,
just canceling each other out with that.
Yeah. You're canceling it out. You know,
I mean, I want people to know about the grain thing. You know, everyone acts like, why are you vilifying grains that, you know, even in the stomach of mummies, you know, we find grain. But what I want to reiterate about that, I say this every episode, is that, even organic for that matter, by the way, does not include all the processes. So
exactly.
even though the wheat might be organic when it's planted or whatever, when they harvest it, they desiccate it with glyphosate.
Correct.
And then, yes. Well, I mean, because I keep trying to remind people, Doc, that they don't understand the labor that would be involved if they harvested that wheat like they're supposed
proper way.
To.
Yeah.
If they did it like Little House on the Prairie days, then your wheat would be $100 a pound.
When people, you know, will always want to say, well, Jesus ate bread. You know, they talk about bread all. It's like, well, it's not even the same type of grain at that point. So, like, we can't compare that to modern, you know.
Right. But then they spray it with poison to harvest it. And so if you're not going to eat it if it fell on my floor, then why would you eat it when they sprayed it with poison?
With their hazmat suits on.
Right, because they can't even...
Yeah.
Actually, they don't even wear the suits. Do you know? Now they have remote, like satellite remote, that they spray it with these machines, and they're controlling it with satellite remote controls.
ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I just had to throw that in there with the grain.
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I mean, my top sources are all, you know, I think anything and everything related to an animal, clean animal would be on my list as a priority, because you're getting all the benefits of what, you know, they ate. And of course, that can be a catch-22, right, too, then, because then if you're eating animals, you remember, you are not just what you eat, you're what you eat, what they ate.
Yes.
So it can go the other way, where if your beef is eating, you know, that the grains that you're talking about and all that kind of stuff, like, you're not only getting just sick meat, but you're getting the toxins and all the things in there too. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but those are kind of the things that I would say, you know.
So animal fats, like clean animal fats.
Gun to my head, those would be the things that I would have as a priority in my household, is the right kind of meats and not having the wrong kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, removing the toxins are as important as including the good stuff. So what do you think about veganism real fast then at that point, when you're talking about having, you know, a lot of people are going vegan because they're exhausted about the animal problem.
I mean, on one hand, if you're only ever going to invest in sick, toxic meat, you know, like, then you probably should be a vegan, right? Like, you know, I'd rather be a vegan than eat that kind of meat, seriously, right?
Right.
But from a perspective and a philosophy that, like, oh, this is a healthier way of living is to live that way. Like, there's absolutely no proof for that. I mean, all of the research that's been done on vegans as far as their nutrient loads, like, you know, and deficiencies are just massive compared to that. And it's like, you know, we weren't meant to not eat that. I mean, like, why would animals exist on this planet, like, if we weren't meant to eat them? I don't know. Like, that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, our question has been that on the farm, too. Yeah. Like, if we're going to be vegan, then what do the vegan people want us to do with all the livestock? And Alan Savory right now is proving every day that you have to have livestock to revitalize the soil so that we don't have this climate issue. And that is killing our planet. You know, because the soil wants to be covered. It doesn't want to be naked, and it will be naked without livestock. Like, you have to have animals migrating on it and they're desiccating it with urine and feces and you need that, for life, giving force.
I mean, for me, I've never, this is just my experience, you know, so if a person that's vegan that's listening to this and you're, you know, it's a statement I'm about to say is wrong to you, and you can email me, you know, but I've just never met a healthy vegan, like, truly healthy.
I mean, it causes neurological and chemical imbalance, don't you believe?
They might have thought they were healthy, but when we dug deeper, I've never met a healthy vegan. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much, Doc, for your time today. Like, I really appreciate so much that you took the time to do this, on your off time, and we just love you, and we appreciate having you in our lives and taking care of our family. I'm pretty partial to you that way, and I hope. For those of you who are not in or who are not local, they can also follow you and become educated by you. Can you tell us, like, where they should go?
I've been doing a lot of stuff on Facebook lately. If you go on Facebook and just search out Greg Barnes, DC, I do a lot of cool Facebook Live stuff. My YouTube channel, Greenway Chiropractic, I'm always posting workshops on there and other stuff like that, too. So those are probably my two. My website's not all that great right now. I'm kind of working on revamping that. But I'd say my Facebook pages and my YouTube channel are probably the most content-rich, where, I mean, I have like 5 years worth of stuff on there. All of it, where, you know, and I'm continually adding to that. So that's a great, and the Facebook Live is such a great thing. Like, now you can get real time questions and answers and stuff like that. So I love doing that. I'm starting to get people from kind of all over the country on there, which is fun, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and include those links with the show notes, so, everyone can find that easily, you know, when they click on the show. But thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you for all you're doing, too. It's just keep on going. Don't give up. It's worth it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Please leave an honest review about the show on iTunes and like and share our Facebook page. You can also sign up for our newsletter. And if you like the education that we're bringing to you each week, can you please help support our 501c3 mission to reestablish the regenerative organic small family farm food system by making it happen today with a tax-deductible cash donation? You can register and make a donation at www.farm2forkmeatriot.org. Again, that's www.farmtoforkmeatriot.org. And click on the donate button. I'm Neethi, signing off. Remember, let your farmer fill your prescription. Reboot, restore, and rejoice.